Chapter 15. "You want me to help you fake your death, you mean?" I repeated. This world's version of my father walked over to one of the cabinets with frosted glass, pulled it open, and then retrieved plates for all of us. His hair was longer than my Sol had ever had it, and silver streaks ran through the dark curls. His skin was pallid, and the wrinkles around his eyes and on his forehead were deeper than I'd realized, but he didn't look like he was about to die.
"Yeah, kid," the older man said. "I was going to do it myself, but now that you're here, I think we can help each other out. Does everyone want some?"
"Yes, please,"
Emma said.
"It smells delicious."
"Thank you," Sol said as he spooned out a large portion. "What about you, cat lady? Can you eat this?"
"I can,"
Fila said.
"Though I prefer raw meat, and I am not one of your pet cats."
"Of course not," our host said with a smile. "You're a saber-tooth, much bigger than a house cat. And I bet you could tear me limb from limb with those muscles of yours."
"Yes, I could,"
the gorgeous woman said with a fanged smile.
"I think I have a steak in the fridge that I was going to eat tomorrow before I made myself disappear," the paranoid genius said.
He walked over to the chrome double-door fridge and yanked open one of the doors. Deep inside of the cooler was a massive steak, and he gave Fila a huge smile as he held up the bounty, and 10 years of stress seemed to melt away from him.
"That smells wonderful,"
my saber-tooth girlfriend said.
"You can smell it through the plastic?" the grizzled man asked.
"I can."
Fila accepted the package and tore it open.
"I am not sure how this will taste cold, but I appreciate that you have not cooked it."
"Sure," Sol said with a shrug. "What about you, Dave? Did you want some of the casserole?"
"Yes, please," I said. "I can make myself a plate, though."
"I got it,"
my pseudo-father said, as he plopped a huge portion on one of the white ceramic plates.
"It's been a while since I've been able to host anyone. Doris would have killed me if she ever saw me make a guest serve themselves. She was really particular about that kind of stuff. She was classy."
"Sounds like you had a long life together," I said as I took my dinner.
"Not long enough, kid,"
the grizzled man said around a lump in his throat.
I'm sorry,
I responded. "I wish that you'd been able to have more time with her."
"Me too," he said as he made his own plate. "But it sounds like I got more time than yours did, so I guess I'll be grateful."
"This is quite delicious,"
Emma said after she took her first bite of the casserole.
"I wonder if you could give me your recipe?"
"Sure thing, young lady," Sol said. "I have all of them around here somewhere. I can make you a copy of everything that Doris left behind. She loved to cook. It was like a lab to her."
"I wish I could have met her," I said. "My mother was wonderful, but she was actually my aunt."
"And maybe you'll find a world where Doris lived," my pseudo-father said. "Though that might be one of those constants."
The worn man led all of us over to a round, dark oak table with just enough chairs for all four of us. A groan escaped him as he eased down into one of the high-backed wood chairs. He set his plate down and then sighed as he reached for something that wasn't there.
"What'd you forget?"
I asked.
"Water," he responded. "The glasses are over there in the cabinet, and there's a pitcher of filtered water on the counter."
"I'll get it," I said as I set my plate down on the table. "Does everyone want some?"
"Yes, please,"
Emma responded.
"Water would be welcome, Dave Meyer,"
Fila said. I nodded my head and then walked over to the cabinet that Sol had pointed toward. The tall glass cups were easy to find, and soon I'd grabbed the huge water pitcher and rejoined everyone around the dinner table.
"Here we go," I said.
I ate in silence, despite all of the questions that rolled around in my head. The peaceful quiet was nice, and I didn't want to be the one to break it. And Sol shoveled the casserole into his mouth like he hadn't eaten in a week. I glanced over at Emma and Fila, but both ladies were focused on their own meals, so I went to work on my own plate. It was a delicious mixture of cheese, chicken, and onions, with a heavy dose of garlic that I was glad Fila hadn't eaten. She called it poison, and I knew that there were some things that cats were allergic to that humans had evolved to be able to eat. I really needed to find out what she could and couldn't eat, though I trusted Emma to have a list of everything that Fila said she didn't like.
"All right," Sol said.
He finished the last bite of his dinner, took a long swig from his water, and then set his glass back down on the table. A sigh blew through his lips as he ran a hand through his hair, and I recognized the familiar face of my father as he tried to figure out how to word something so that I would understand. "You said you wanted me to help you fake your death," I offered.
"Yes, yes," the flustered genius said as he nodded his head. "I was going to do it on my own, but those damn lizard fucks figured out how to track my DNA. That's why I came up with the DNA jammer. But now that you're here, I think I have a better idea."
I glanced over at Fila and Emma as the two ladies finished their own dinners. They probably wouldn't mind being involved in this, and I'd already risked Emma's life once when we helped the magpies destroy the memory files of Quicken Loans. But we'd almost got caught, and I wasn't sure that I could handle the stress of that again. "What's your plan?" I asked.
"There's a gala in my honor tomorrow," Sol said. "I was planning to fake an explosion in my lab before the event, but if you come along, we can fuck up their biometric scanning equipment."
I glanced at my watch and saw that we had a little over 12 hours before we were scheduled to leave. The Dep could be pushed back for another 24 hours before the Cthulhu men caught on to us, and that would give us more than enough time to help this Sol fake his death. I wasn't sure if we would want to stay in this world long after the gala, so I would have to talk to the girls about whether we were okay with a midnight departure. "We're supposed to leave at 9 a.m. tomorrow," I said. "But I can push it back for another day."
"No, no," Sol said. "You should leave as soon as we're done with the gala. I can make myself scarce once I'm done with what I need to do, and then you can get out of Dodge while the scanners are still trying to figure out what the hell is going on."
"What time is the event?"
Emma asked.
"It's supposed to start at 6 p.m., the grizzled man said. "They'll serve dinner, give some bullshit speeches about how great I am, and then at some point they'll try to kill me or kidnap me."
"You really think that they'll try to do that in such a public place?"
the Victorian woman asked before she took a sip of her water.
"Normally they wouldn't have the balls," my pseudo-father explained. "But they've been inviting me down into their offices with some flimsy excuses that they want me to help consult on some new tech. I keep avoiding them. I know that they're responsible for Doris being killed. She was the one who wanted us to start a foundation that would give all of our money to the people using my depot to make homes. She said that with all of our funds, we could really make a difference. Her latest invention was for a stove that had a built-in air filter so that the units wouldn't get smoky when people cooked with them."
"Did she ever finish it?" I asked.
"No," the sad man said. "And I admit that I destroyed it when I heard the news. I wish I had kept it. She would have wanted it to be given to the people. She was always a better person than I was."
"That's what my Sol said," I told him. "He said he was lost without her."
"I am, kid, I am," the tired genius said. "But I'm going to finish our work. Once the men in black think that I'm dead, I'm going to attack the oil companies. The slimy bastards have been poisoning the planet for too long. And I might even go through Doris's notes to see if I can recreate that filter."
"That sounds dangerous,"
Fila said.
"You should have a pack to back you up."
"I don't have a pack," Sol said. "I can't trust anyone. They'll all turn me in or try to worship me like those crazies down in Little Detroit."
"Fila's right," I said. "You should try to find people you can trust. The last Sol that we met had made friends with some of the underground people. He mostly stayed to himself, but he had connections when he needed them."
"Well, think about it, kid," the older man said as he ran a hand through his hair. "But first things first, we need to figure out how to fool the men in black."
"What's in it for us?"
Emma asked as she started to gather up our plates. The Victorian woman had an innocent smile on her face, but her sky-blue eyes were sharp as she watched for this world's version of my father to answer her question.
"I like her," the paranoid man laughed. "She's smart."
"Smarter than me," I said with a grin at my beautiful girlfriend.
"Do you mind if I make us some tea?"
Emma asked, as she began to open the cabinets.
"Sure," Sol responded. It's right there. Take your pick. I prefer the orange spice. It's got a good cinnamon kick to it."
"I'll make us all a cup,"
Emma said.
"I would like to make sure that it's not full of poisons,"
Fila said as she stood.
"Those girls are gorgeous,"
my pseudo-father whispered once he thought Fila was out of earshot.
"Are you all part of a pack?"
Yes, well, more of a tribe, I said with a smile at the older man. They and Acrasis are all part of my tribe, and they all want to have my children.
Good boy, the man said with a flash of pride in his green eyes. I know your Sol would have been proud. Hell, I am. How many worlds have you been to so far?
Phila's, Emma's, the Cambrian era, this Aztec-dominated world, the magpie cyberpunk world, and the trash furniture world. I counted off every world that I could remember. I think 6, but there might be one that I'm forgetting.
The world where we found Raz,
Emma called as she pulled the boiling tea kettle off of the stove.
Right,
I said. So we've been to 7.
The one with the giant sea creatures was my favorite,
Phila said. She sniffed at the tea packet that Emma handed her, sneezed, and then smelled it one more time. The second sniff must have passed her test, because she tore it open and put it into one of the mugs.
Sea creatures?
Sol asked. The Cambrian era, I said. Everything tasted remarkably like shrimp once Emma grilled it up. Though I wouldn't want to fight one of them again.
The ones you call trilobites were a tasty snack,
the saber-toothed woman said, as she brought 2 mugs over to the table. Well, maybe we should breed a few insects so that you can have a source of protein, I said. I've heard that crickets are pretty high in protein and aren't that hard to take care of.
We'll have to keep them away from the plants,
Emma said as she handed me a mug and then sat down.
We can make a little house for them, like we would if we had chickens. Oh, do you think we could have chickens? I always wanted to keep some, but they were always so dangerous in my world. And sometimes the eggs would explode with bursts of lightning.
That sounds terrifying, Sol said.
It was quite unpleasant,
the Victorian woman agreed.
And you are right. This tea is fantastic.
I'm glad you like it, the older man said. We should probably get back to the planning stage.
You still haven't told us what you plan to do in return for our help,
the blue-eyed woman said over the rim of her ceramic cup.
Of course, the genius chuckled. I can check out that dimensional engine patent pending before I head out into the world.
Do you think that you can help us with it? I asked.
I'm not going to guarantee anything, my pseudo-father said. But I did do some research into the theories of alternate universes before I focused my energy on a dimensional entrance patent observed. I probably would have done the same thing that your Sol had if Doris hadn't been here to tell me that I needed to focus on something that would make the world better.
I guess that could be helpful, I said. I don't know how to direct it. The red numbers on the engine show the dimension we're in, but I haven't been writing them down.
Oh, I've written down the last few,
Emma said as she pulled her leather-bound notebook out of the pocket of her bustle skirt. You have? I asked.
Yes.
A faint pink blush spread across her pale cheeks as she gave me a small smile. The page that she flipped to had her perfect cursive handwriting with the numbers from the depth and a quick description of the worlds.
You're wonderful, I said. I always forget to write them down.
Well, you did say that we might find a Sol who would know what they meant,
the Gibson girl look-alike said.
I think I'll have to take a look at the engine before I can try to decipher those numbers,
Sol said as he peered over at the notebook.
But I'll give it a go. You may need to find one of us that paid more attention to the multiverse theories.
Is there anything that you can help with? I asked.
I'm pretty sure I can help you with that expansion problem, the grizzled man said.
He ran a rough hand over his scruffy chin and leaned back in his chair. His eyes were unfocused as he stared across the table toward Phila, and I recognized the look of my father as he lost himself in calculations. Would you be able to help us with a robotic drill? I asked.
Huh?
The genius blinked and returned to the present moment.
A robotic drill, you say?
Yeah, I said. Raz used her slime to gunk up the works, but the ground of the base only gives us like 6 inches to dig. We'll need at least 6 for the solar water containers.
Now that sounds interesting, the older man said with a big grin. I think we'll need to spend at least an hour after the gala to work on those. I'll bring my tools.
I think that'll work as payment for my help, I said. What do you ladies think?
If he can help us with the area of our base and in getting the drill working, then I suppose we can help him out,
Emma said with a warm smile.
I will trust this Sol to help us,
Phila said. Great, I said. So, what's this master plan of yours?
We'll both go to the gala tomorrow,
this world's version of Sol said.
Those assholes will be looking for me, but when both of us show up, it'll throw off their damn senses.
Right, I said. They'll realize that there's more than one person with your DNA signature. But what will that do for you in the long run?
I have a program that I've been working on, the mad genius said with a big smile. It'll fuck up their machines so bad that it'll erase any trace of me in their systems. I'll set up an explosion here so they won't be able to get any more samples of my DNA, and then I'll be free to disappear.
But won't something like that hurt people?
Emma asked.
This building is quite tall. I didn't have many tall structures in my world, but even when the small ones fell, they made a huge mess.
You're right, Saul said with a frown. You remind me of Doris. Always thinking about other people.
He tapped his fingers on the table as he thought, and looked off into the distance as he tried to think of the perfect answer. My Saul hadn't handled his grief over Doris nearly as well as this one did, and I wondered if it was because he'd had more time with her. What about a burn? I asked. You could place charges around the building. Looks like the place is made of stone and glass, so the worst that'll happen is a few windows blow out.
I do have something that could do that, the older man said. I could disable the fire alarm system. I'll need help to make sure that there are charges on every level of the building, though. It won't be an easy task.
Can't you just focus on the areas where you spend time? I asked.
No, the tired man said as he fought back a yawn. I need to make sure that there are no traces of my DNA left anywhere.
I can help to put the devices out,
Phyla said.
I have incredible endurance. I've traveled over a mountain in a single day.
Really? The grizzled man asked with an impressed expression. Okay. I can make up the devices tonight. I have enough to cover the lower 20 levels already, but I'll need to make sure that we don't miss anything.
We'll need time to get ready for the gala, I said. If we show up in our street clothes, then they'll figure out who we are in no time flat.
Right, Saul said as he looked at me. You look like you could fit in one of my suits. All right, do you ladies think that you could take care of placing the charges while Junior and I take care of the gala?
We won't be joining you?
Emma asked. I would rather have you two at the base, I said. Once you lay the charges and set the timer, you can take the jamboree back to the base and meet up with Acrasis.
I've always wanted to go to a fancy event like that,
the Victorian woman frowned.
Are you sure I can't go with you?
I'd love to say yes, the trillionaire said. But we'll be messing with DNA scanners, and there's no telling if they'll be able to pick you two up. If they realize that your DNA isn't from our world, then they'll grab you before anyone even notices.
It would be really dangerous, I said. Maybe we can go to a ball or something in another world.
All right,
the beautiful woman said.
I suppose you're right. We'll have to find an event to go to that doesn't involve shady government men.
Thanks, I said. I promise we'll keep an eye out.
So, we have a plan, Saul said. I'll make those charges tonight. You two will place them and set the timer, and Dave and I'll go to the gala tomorrow and fuck up those pedo lizard bastards' plans.
Would I be able to copy Miss Doris's recipes tonight?
Emma asked with a hopeful smile.
Ah, yes, the older man said as he looked toward the kitchen. She wrote everything down in one of her notebooks. It's a bit messy because she scratched out and rewrote measurements as she improved her recipes, but I have a copy of it you can use. Have you ever made copies before?
I haven't,
the Victorian woman confessed.
But if you can show me how to use it once, then I'll be able to remember it.
Perfect, my pseudo-father said as he stood. It looks like we all have our plans. Will your other girlfriend be all right for the night?
Yeah, I said. She's got Floppy to keep her company, and since she can hear everything, she won't worry. I'll need to reset the dimensional engine patent pending so it doesn't leave without us. What time do you think we'll be done at the gala?
No later than 8 p.m., the genius said.
He retrieved a worn composition notebook from one of the cabinets and gave it a sad smile as he flipped through the pages. The look he gave Emma, as she walked over to him, was full of grief and love all at the same time. He took a deep breath in like he was giving Doris away, and then handed the beloved recipe book to my Victorian girlfriend.
I promise that I'll take good care of it while I make the copies,
Emma said.
I still have the recipe book that my mother gave me, and now I'll have Dave some other's recipes. I will pass them down to our children.
My eyes teared up as I thought of the mother that I didn't get to know. I hoped that one day I'd be able to take the girls back to my own world so that they could meet the woman who had raised me. Hopefully she'd still be around so that I could introduce her to my girls, and maybe get a final goodbye.
"You're a good woman," Sol said and patted Emma on the shoulder.
The rest of the night we all fell into a routine as we helped the paranoid genius work on the devices that he would need. He gave us all instructions, and soon Fila and I had put together 20 of the charges. I almost forgot that I needed to change the hour that we departed, but I managed to remember before I was too tired to see the up-and-down arrows on my watch. My Sol had no doubt added them, because he knew that at some point I'd get stuck somewhere. Emma joined us after she'd made copies of all of Doris's recipes. And then she sang to herself as she inserted each treasured piece of paper into plastic sheet covers. Sol made up a spare room for us with a California king-sized bed that fit all three of us easily. And we all snuggled into each other as we laid down for the night. I worried that Acrasis was all alone. But the little bit of slime that Emma had in her pocket formed into a miniature version of the woman and crawled up onto my shoulder. The oil-slick-colored babe gave me a kiss on the cheek and then snuggled into the side of my neck. I knew the rest of her was still at our base, but I was happy to have the smaller version of her with me as I drifted off to sleep.
"Good morning, Dave Meyer,"
Fila said as I opened my eyes. She reminded me of a cat my college roommate had. It would sit on my chest and watch me sleep, and I would wake up to the creature's purring.
"Good morning," I said. "How long you been watching me sleep?"
"For a little while,"
the saber-toothed woman replied as she tilted her head to the side.
"I do it every morning. I had to leave earlier, but Emma Newbolt wanted to go shopping, and I admit that it was enjoyable."
"What time is it?"
I grumbled as I forced myself to sit up. If she'd already been shopping, then it had to be later than usual. I still needed to get ready and go over the plan again. Emma and the miniature Acrasis were gone, probably sorting through everything they'd bought. And Fila must have decided to come see me instead. She purred as she ran her hand up and down my stomach, and I glanced toward the open door as I wondered if we had time to fool around before my pseudo-father came in.
"That's gonna have to wait, kid,"
the man of the hour answered my unspoken question as he barged into the room.
"Emma went out to the store and bought all the food we needed for lunch. She's currently cooking it right now."
"What time is it?" I asked again.
"It's almost noon,"
the gorgeous woman next to me purred.
"You were so peaceful that we decided to let you sleep."
"We need to set all the charges," I said as I scooted toward the edge of the bed.
"Emma and I will do that after lunch,"
Fila said. "What have you guys been doing all day?" I asked as I stepped into my pants.
"I gave them my credit cards and told them to go shopping," Sol said with a mischievous grin. "I figured I'd make the bastards tracking my money really confused. Your girls know how to spend money."
"I have several new outfits,"
the saber-toothed woman said.
"And new weapons. Emma Newbold and I bought ammunition for your Glock, though the man did not allow us to buy it all. He asked if we were going to start something called a war."
"I bet you scared the shit out of him," I laughed. "Or turned him on."
"Probably both,"
my pseudo-father said. He'd shaved his scraggly beard, and it looked like he'd even gotten a haircut. The girls might have dragged him out with them, though I couldn't imagine the paranoid genius would want to make a public appearance, so he must have gotten a haircut from Emma.
"Emma purchased quite a few spices and oils."
Fila followed me out into the open concept penthouse.
"And yards of fabric. It is all loaded into the Jeep."
"It all fit?" I teased.
"It did,"
my Victorian girlfriend said with a bright smile.
"Though we did have to make 2 trips to the base. Acrasis and Floppy are doing well.
I have ventured into Little Detroit and learned how they have created rooms inside of their shipping containers,"
a miniature version of Raz said. The tiny version of her was a little taller than the version that I'd seen the night before. The counter was a huge platform for the woman as she strolled around and looked at everything. She wore a bright blue cut-off tank top, dark blue jeans with slices cut into the legs, and her auburn curls were in a high ponytail.
"Make sure you're careful when you're wandering around," I said. "I don't want you to get hurt."
"I will, Dave Meyer,"
the small woman squeaked as she gave me a wink and a smile that didn't resemble Emma or Fila. And I wondered if the alien woman had finally learned how to smile on her own. The link that she had with me was enough that she could feel my emotions, but I hadn't asked if she'd begun to have them, even when she wasn't connected to us.
"She's adorable,"
Sol said, and sat on one of the stools at the island.
I've talked to her for hours. She told me all about her planet and traveling through space. Fascinating stuff.
She's fantastic, I agreed. We had a few hours before the gala, so we ate the lunch that Emma made, set the charges, and then Sol and I got dressed. I was a little nervous about the girls staying at the base all alone. But they could defend themselves, and it would only be for a few hours.
You look very handsome,
Emma said when I came out of the bedroom in the three-piece suit.
He can keep it, my pseudo-father said. Are you ready, kid?
Yup, I said. Let's go fuck up the government's plans and try not to die in the process.